Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdulaziz Shaheed, and greetings to you, Brother Bilal. I'm from Legum.
Well, Legum Slum, Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good, brother. I'm doing good, my brother. Good.
Yeah. Brother Aziz, as you know, we're going to have more or less a general conversation this evening, open mic. And
we're
talking about taxation without representation. Taxation without representation. You know, one of the reasons I came up in with this particular title, as you know, it's tax time.
Yeah.
It's time for business folks to send in their taxes. But before we get started, let's give out this information, Brother Aziz. For those of you who wish to participate in our conversation this evening, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. 657-383-1372 is our call-in number where you can participate live on the air. And like we were saying, Brother Aziz and I were saying, it's an open mic. So we look forward to having a mutual conversation together. But like I was saying, Brother Aziz, that time of the year where you send your taxes in. And, of course, I was I just had mine prepared and ready to go in. And, of course, with that goes a check, a great big old check written to the Internal Revenue. And as I was writing this check, and getting ready and putting it in the mail, I'm asking myself, my goodness, what do I get as an African American in return for writing this check? And I'm hoping that our audience or somebody can tell me something that I don't know. And that is, as an African American, what in the world am I getting in return for writing a check to the federal government? And so maybe you can start off, Brother Aziz, informing me, because it's an open question right now to me. And it would be nice if I had an answer. So what do you think you're getting, or what do you think anyone is getting from the taxes,
well,
from the taxes that we pay? And what representation, or what returns, I guess I should say, do we get back? So if you know,
well,
I'm going to turn it over and let you tell me.
Well, it's alleged that our government protects us from enemies to our nation, as well as, you know, the bulk of the American budget goes to defense, defending our country. That's what they say we get. But, brother, when it comes to the representation of us having an equal voice in matters that go on in this country and all that, I truly believe that we are taxed without any representation. Because even though we have laws that we constitutional laws and that, some folks just violate it. And they don't have to pay the consequences for violating them. I'm talking about laws that normally any other people would be executed for. The only representation we get for our money is, brother, just troubles, troubles and more troubles. We don't get the real American representation for our tax money. I couldn't tell you, blah, 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 blah. I can't come up with no excuse to defend how we are being protected by the taxes that we pay in our country, because that's not true. not true whatsoever of African American people. And it appears that even it appears that the majority of country knows this also. And supposedly, as a God-fearing nation, we're not abiding by those laws or rules, or just plain human compassion towards the next, towards the next person. We know in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is, it tells you that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we're surely not getting that, Brother Bilal. To answer your question, I don't know, maybe one of our listeners can come on and tell us the representation that we're getting for paying our taxes. Well, some things are just common, you know, like our self-defense, the police departments and all this here. We're paying taxes for a police department and all that. In general, for the Justice Department, wherein the Justice Department is allowing our people to be killed all around this country. And people are doing it and getting away with it. The people that we're paying money to protect us, they're getting away with it. So that's a very difficult question to come up with an answer for, especially when you ask a certain group of people that question about, you know, taxation without representation or taxation with representation. There's one group of people in this country can say, yeah, they get their taxpayers' money's worth. And then there's another group of Americans that say, hey, we get no justice for the taxes we pay, buddy. Nothing but problems and problems. And how do we overcome a situation like this? There are ways, but I don't know, Brother Bilal. I don't know the answer to that question, my brother.
But sounds like, Brother Aziz, you're saying that our taxes make some a privilege in this country and others have to work as a disadvantage.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
And I believe you're right. And I think if we look at, and I believe you're right, one of the reasons I believe you're right is because, like I said, as a businessman, and you know, we're a business association and we promote businesses, and we always asking ourselves why there are no businesses in the African-American communities. When at the same time we're sending our deposits into the revenues of this country, and the revenues that we send in on deposits, whether it's taxes or whether it's deposits that we make in general in our banks, those monies, once they go to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve do their balancing sheets of all the counties and all the different places that the monies are coming from, I guess they do it by total zip codes or whatever way they identify the monies that are coming into the Federal Reserve, I guess on a daily basis. And then how do you get those funds once they get to the Federal Exchange Commission? And, you know, the Federal Exchange Commission is the one that sends back monies after it has been recorded through the federal deposits. And now the Federal Exchange Commissions are the ones who are responsible for sending monies back to the communities that those deposits came from, and they send it back in kind according to the amount of deposits that's coming from the communities. So again, and when you start talking about privileges with taxes, we know that, I know that was reported when we did a report back in 2005, and at that time you had an organization, you might remember the name of the organization, called Wealth Management. And at that time they called themselves Wealth Management Magazine. That was before they went computers. And they called themselves Wealth Management Magazine. And so during that time, it was reported that African Americans was paying around $850 billion in taxes. And this is back in 2005. You know, that is probably tripled from now. So that's why I rounded it off at $1 trillion as a moderate figure until we can get the exact figures. But we know our taxations and our deposits and our taxation is at least $1 trillion that we're paying into the Federal Reserves annually. And then you start talking, and this is where I see these privileges you're talking about, because when it comes to the monies coming back to the communities where it was deposited, we don't, no African-American communities nowhere in this country have any banks in their communities. No African-Americans that I know anything about have any brokerage or financial institutions in their community. No African-Americans that I know anything about have any insurance companies in their community. Therefore, when there, and also, Brother Aziz, most African-American zip codes are the same as the Caucasian zip codes and the community where these deposits are made. But but these Caucasian communities have banks in their communities. They have financial institutions or brokerage in their communities. They have insurance companies and agencies in their communities. Therefore, when it comes to the money's exchange that's coming from our deposits, from the zip codes that is being deposited into, the money's come back to that zip code, but it goes to the white communities because it has to. There are no places for monies to go to the black communities. So how do we get our monies back in kind, in which we made deposits or paid taxes? So and that's where I ask myself, where this taxation, and there's no representation for our monies coming back to the communities to create businesses. So when we start talking about African Americans become invested with each other and having to pool their monies to grow businesses, we shouldn't have to do that. We should only have to go to the banks and pull out the monies that we deposited into the banks on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, or what have you. And Brother Aziz, just think about how much money our churches deposited into banks on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis. I mean, think about how much money, you know, especially, and we got these mega churches out here. I mean, it's easy to say that, you know, I mean, so again, the amount of monies that we put into the Federal Reserve, those monies should be coming back to enhance our communities just like it enhanced other communities that made that deposit. And because the exchanges have to come back to the community from which it was deposited.
Exactly.
So when you and I make our deposits or our donations and our what have you, and the money goes into the bank, it's like it no longer belongs to us. We're giving away hundreds of trillions of dollars so you can, like you said, so you can live bad.
Yeah.
And the privilege of folks that call themselves white can live good. Man, where is the... And so that's why I said when I was writing my check to the Federal Reserve today, I'm saying to myself, my goodness, what does this represent, me writing this check? I mean, when I'm asking myself, what does it represent? Does it mean that I'm no more than a slave? And my job is to just continue to write so those folks who hate me and call me all kinds of names don't even want me to have the privilege of voting anymore. But at the same time, they're ready to lock me up and take all of my assets if I don't pay them taxes.
I'll put it up.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's why... Rather than, that's why I said I needed some help because, and asked them where is the fairness, but I guess the real thing is how you expect to grow our communities if we don't have commerce.
Commerce.
And as you know, any community that don't have commerce is considered to be no more than a ghost town, a ghost community.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have commerce. But we can have commerce because, again, our money's going into it because everyone, all communities, their growth is going to come back to the monies that the community is producing. And so again, any community, and like I said, our zip codes is the same as the white man's zip code. So which means when the monies go back to the zip, it goes to his community. I guess our communities don't even exist. Because again, everything is going to go uptown or downtown or around town, but it's not going to come to, it ain't going to come back to our community. And I'm wondering fairness of that is going to, because again, they talk about giving you something. We don't want nobody to give us anything. We just want to get back what belongs to us. We made the deposits. But again, when it comes back to the returns. And so that's what the show is all about this evening, is a fair taxation return. And where is the fairness when we make all these deposits and our returns is just less than nothing? So that's why I say this
is open mind.
Go right ahead, Brother Isaiah.
Yes, Brother Bilal. It would be a good endeavor to see if we could not, or if someone could see if they could not get to all of the black churches within the metropolitan area to invest and put their monies in the National Bank of Washington. The National Bank of Washington could open more branches where it could serve the community, you know.
You know, Brother Isaiah, what you're saying right now is exactly what needs to really be done. Because like you said, if we could take our deposits and stop putting them into these white banks that's going to keep our monies and keep these deposits in our own communities and start...
Yeah.
Our own financial institutions, our own banks, if it's have to start off with being a credit union, fine. We should be able to start many of those. But I'm saying it's going to take the biggest business institution in our community, which is our church.
Right.
That's the biggest business representatives, the biggest business representative in our communities is our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And the huge amount of money, you know, I have to also, you keep on talking about the white man taking all the privileges, but we as African Americans have a lot to do also with taking all the privileges away from our own communities. It ain't only the white man. Because I know for a fact, the hundreds, and like I said, about $1 trillion a year is going into taxation payments, but I'm saying from the donations that we put into our churches, I know for a fact because I've had conference with the SBA, the Small Business Administration. When I say the SBA, and the banks that follows and sponsors the SBA. Let me say that again. The SBA and the banks that sponsors the SBA. That was right here in the metropolitan area. And that's just about all the major banks in the metropolitan area sponsors the SBA. And I was years ago in one of the conferences that they where they had one of those community conferences. I asked the question to the SBA and all of those bankers that sponsored them. I asked the question about what happens to because they were telling our community at that time about why so many African Americans were being refused business loans, and most of it had to do with what they call your financials. You're talking about your accounting records and what have you. They said our financials wasn't professional and most of them was way out of order. And that's why a lot of the loans and stuff like that, a lot of monies wasn't distributed back in our community. Well, then I asked the question, if our financials is the reason why our monies is not being distributed back into our communities in kind as to what we made our deposits, then are you putting our monies into a special escrow and it's just staying millions and billions of dollars is staying into a special escrow until we learn how to balance our financials? And so what are you doing with our monies while you are saying that our financials are not in order? Well, again, I was told, and of course, and I wasn't by myself. I was with the delegation. And our delegation was told that, look, like they said, we ain't going to take the blame. This is the white folks speaking, bankers. He said, because you're right, there is a ton of money deposited into our banks from the churches. He said, but any time that the church representatives wanted any monies whatsoever, $10, $15, $20 million, it made no difference. They didn't have to worry about their financials being in order. All they had to do was make the request. But they also told us that these ministers They never made a request for the community's business support. They always made the request for their own personal support. So they can go in there and take out five. And see, the thing about it, the amount of monies that African-Americans deposited Ignite, especially from that church, is too much monies for the ministers to stick in their pockets. So you can go in there and take out $20 million, but remember, we deposit $1 billion. So again, they would be glad to give you a stipend to keep you riding around in the best-looking cars and living in mansions while the rest of your communities had nothing. And like you said, you never, as ministers, you never talk about economic developments in your own communities. And speaking of that, that's why I get back to, if the ministers would start talking about economical development in the black communities and start withholding the deposits from these white banks, then now we would have financial institutions in the black country. You got to do something with that huge amount of deposits that we're receiving. But I'm saying rather than putting it into white banks that you, where you're not only return you're going to get is what the ministers go in there and ask for, but the rest of the communities there. And see, that's why. So again, I guess what I'm saying, we rip each other off also when you start talking about privileges. It's just not all white privileges. We as African Americans, many of us, they have some large privileges, and also that just like the white men, they're taking it from those communities that should be growing, but they can't grow because, like you said, our money is going to financial institutions that we have no control of. So we must have our own financial institutions. But the only way we can get those financial institutions is start making deposits into our own financial banks, our own financial insurance companies, our own financial brokerage, such as real estate agencies and other type brokerage that can create community growth. But we don't have such things. How many title companies do you see in the African-American communities are owned and by African-Americans? You don't see any. It's all in like I said, uptown, down to somewhere other than your communities. But your communities is what's supporting all these financial institutions that are not in your communities. So, I'm saying, what is the solution? And I guess the question is asking, look like we got a light audience here tonight, Brother Aziz. But the solution, I said, what is the solution to this thing? It's been going on for so long. And these ministers, like I said, they can only spend, you can only spend so many millions of dollars, but you can spend millions all day long, especially when you're talking about bringing in billions.
That's right.
Like I said, we have it, the reserves, we have those reserves that comes through our communities, but for some reason it cannot stay in our communities. And look like we're responsible for that because we give away our assets to other communities. And a community is, like I said, that you have a zip code, but that zip code sends everything is the same zip code that the white community have. And when that money exchange is sent from the Federal Reserve, it's sent to that white community. It can't go to a black community because there's nothing in the black communities for monies and your monies to come back to you. That's a terrible thing to say. There's no place for my monies. I'm making deposits, but you can't send me my deposits back in kind because I don't have nowhere to receive it.
Yeah.
So therefore, if your money goes to Wall Street, it goes to, like you said, the privileges of others, and it's been going on for so long.
Right.
It's got to be.
That's right.
You know, so it seems like the solution has a lot to do with us.
It is. It is. And it does.
Looks like that solution has a whole bunch to do with how we're making that solution a better solution ourselves. And the way we do it is take on our own values, control our own values, control.
Right, that's right.
And own our communities. And it starts with land.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with land.
Yes. Right, land is one of them for sure.
You know. So like I said, Brother Aziz, we come on here and we spend our monies to keep the business association or at least some kind of communications open as to where our communities can at least talk about business. But you want to know something? It seems like business is the last thing in the world they want to talk about.
Right. You have to be responsible for that, brother. Business requires a lot of responsibility, a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline with responsibility, you know, and I don't know, that's something we have to work on. As you stated a little bit there early, like a little while ago, when you were talking that we primarily, and this is just my opinion, not a scientific fact or something like that, established fact, but I think when you said that some of our problems, we may be the solution to that. Well, I am positive that the majority of the problems that we have as a people, period, in business, in the way we spend our money, and how we're able to utilize the banks that we bank at and get the same privileges as other people, Caucasians. Yeah, we could have all of that if we invested in one another. But most of all, my point is that we are the solution to most of our problems if we would just go on and sit back. I mean, get together and look at it and know. We can't blame it on somebody else about us not having a bank. We can't blame it on somebody else because the Bank of Washington don't have outlets everywhere when we go put our monies in other banks and all that. So I do strongly believe that we are the answer to the majority of our problems, and we just have to own up to it. The leadership has to own up to it, and that's where the greatest motivation comes from. To the people, from those leaders. And in our cases, like you say, the one that holds the most active business in a sense is the churches. They're the ones that are the biggest businesses in our community. I'm not talking about the other businesses that African-American businessmen have in per se, no. But active business in our community, yeah, the church is the most active big business in our community, and they have big edifices. And the leaders there get paid well. Some have jets. And then some say to others, my people will run me out of town if I ask them to buy me a $40 million jet and support me flying around in it. Because everything I need to do right now is around here at home where I live. When we all good to go and all that, then we'll reach out and try to help somebody outside our community. We ain't got to go that far to do that. You don't have to get in no jet and fly across America to see people that need help in our community. You can walk and see that. So I do believe that with the right leadership in our community and the right focus, and that is a business community to support all those communities as we know. So with the right focus and the right leadership, we can overcome that. You know, and again, it's easier said than done, brother. It's easy for me to sit up and for us to sit up and say that, you know, we see the problem and all that, that the leaders have to come together and say, this is what we're going to do. And then they have to stay focused on doing that. Don't let nothing get in their way by somebody coming and threatening them, threatening to do something to their financial holdings or any kind of thing that might frighten them without knowing that, hey, man,
brother,
they can't harm you like that.
You start talking about fear and frightening and letting somebody come in. This is what I mean about owning. And like Brother Harris said, owning the block.
Yes, yes.
See, when you own property,
mm-hmm.
and you own
That's
your
right.
own businesses, and this is there is no coming in and stopping you. The way
That's
right. to stop you is because you don't own anything.
That's
you
right.
rent. And as a renter,
right.
I can keep you as a rental, or I can get rid of you as a renter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, mm-hmm. I am the one who owns whatever it is you're renting. So you have to be the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's right. what I mean about. And we have enough monies in our communities. Every time you start talking about depositing $1 trillion a year, and remember, we ain't talking about consumer spending now. We're talking about our deposits and taxes, and our deposits and like I said, the biggest business in our community, the church. That church, our black church, making serious deposits into these financial institutions all over this country. And I said finance into banks all over this country. And these banks and that cash flow, because remember, anytime you're making large deposits, cash flow is something that's making money every second. That money is there and waiting to go to a permanent deposit, I would say, and usually that's when it goes to the Wall Street and stuff. But before it gets there, remember, banks might have your money 3 or 4 days before they have to make their reports, maybe to this place. So that means that's working capital. And you're working up, and I got millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, and I got 2 or 3 days to move money. See, I can make a whole bunch of monies in 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
48 hours moving cash. And it's going on all the time.
Right.
But we're not making a dime off that big cash flow. That we're
right.
depositing simply because we have nothing to do. All the time we're depositing, and once it's deposited, the community don't have any control over the money anymore. Like I said, you have those that you done put in power because you done made them your minister or your whoever, but they're the ones who can go to the bank. And they're the ones that can sit down with the banker and say, look, I want $10 million. I want $15 million. They're, and like the banker said, they're going to get it. They're going to make certain they're going to get it as soon as they ask for it because they're depositing billions of dollars. And there is no way that these ministers that's running the biggest business institution in the black community, which is the church, they cannot spend, I don't care if they bought $40 million jets or what have you, they can't spend a billion dollars or billions of dollars. They can't withdraw it. So the monies they can't withdraw is going to the privileges of something else because it's not coming back to the community. And like the banker said, those ministers are not asking for the money to come back to the communities as long as we are satisfied.
That's right.
You know, as long as they're satisfied, you know, let's look at the time when the monies did come back to our communities. The monies came back to our communities when all of our communities did and when the churches did deposit their monies in the black banks, and that was during the time of Black Belt Wall Street. Our monies did not leave our communities because, again, during that time, African Americans and the ministers and the communities kept the monies in their own communities and they built their own banks. I asked myself, why is it being done again? Why isn't that being done again? And you know what the answers are, and I don't know the answer to it, but as far as speculating, I speculate that the reason it's not coming back to us, and the reason we're not building the black communities and bringing in the revenues there anymore is because those ministers don't want to work that hard. Businesses are, when you start talking about building big businesses, hotels and restaurants and car dealerships and everything that you're going to need, health facilities, that is big business, and it's something that you have to work with just about 24 hours a day. I don't think I asked myself, why would I take, if I'm one of these ministers who have access to millions of dollars like this, why would I go into the hard work of building a community when I can go into the bank and they'll give me $15, $20 million with my signature? Well, I don't have to be responsible to the community. I don't have to be responsible to the community. I don't have to build businesses and work all. You see, again, it's just for some reason we don't want work that we should be putting in when it comes to building our. And see, when you start talking about hard work, it's not all, you ain't talking about field labor. You're talking about building your communities and all the professionals that it's going to take to build that community. But we like I said, during the time of Black Belt Wall Street, it was good example. We did do it, and we was in our communities all over the South. We had
all over, brother.
Virgin communities.
Yeah.
Virgin communities. But you want to know something? What stopped it? Because we know the first you start talking about the Greenwood District, and you start talking about Black Belt Wall Street, yeah, we know the disruption that went on there. But you want to know, but nothing ever happened to Black Belt Wall Street. The Black Belt Fieldhead is fine. As a matter of fact, the Black Belt Wall Street rebuilt Black Wall Street. Remember, there was a second Black Wall Street.
Yes.
They rebuilt the Greenwood District. They rebuilt it a second time after that destruction. But you know what destroyed it the second time?
Yeah.
Integration. Integration. When integration saying that when professional African American could now live in the same communities as the white man lived in. So rather than community growth anymore, Black communities turned into ghost towns all over the country. And you see the results of it still today. Ever since the breakup of Black Belt Wall Street, and integration is what broke it up, we have never had that financial power since then. Never.
Yeah, that's right.
So the first destruction was the white man's destruction, and how many he killed to break up that financial institution. But the second destruction, we did it ourselves because we wanted to integrate to his community and put all our monies and all our, and what's going on today. Like I said, it's all going to all of our monies. Everything goes into the white communities, whether it's our church deposits or whether it's our consumer spending. And there's a huge amount of money. It's once you combine the two, our taxations, our donation deposits, and our consumer spendings. My goodness. I think when statistics was put together on that type of revenue coming in, it made us the fourth or the fifth richest nation. If we was a nation, our GMP was the fifth richest in the world.
That's a lot.
That's a lot to reflect on.
Yeah.
That's a lot to reflect. And so, Brother Aziz, we're going to make it short today. We don't have a very large audience of African Americans. Like I said, somebody has to keep a channel of business communications going because, like I said, I'm writing my check as a business person. And then as a representative of the New Africa and Black Belt Wall Street, and as a financial planner, I figured that was I know it's a subject that we need to look into. But the only way we can look into it is somebody make the broadcast, the announcement. And I am, like you said, you and I, we wonder if our efforts are going anywhere. But we realize that, my goodness, if we don't continue the conversation of business development and growth in our communities and network marketing and identifying businesses in our communities so we can do. And I know we're just a small entity, but we ask you, who else is doing this?
Yeah.
Who else is doing this? Who else can we go to? And I have the communications and trying to get the support to get financial growth and stability in our communities. Because, like I said, We have the monies. We have the monies, but we are forced to spend our monies and get the monies out of our communities as quick as it comes in. Our money don't stay in our communities for barely any time. Because the moment we can get our money,
6 hours.
Things are going to the bank, and the reason 6 hours, that's how long it takes to get a bank to make your deposits into these white banks. And once it gets there, I mean, it lost.
Everybody get their hands on it then.
Yeah.
We're spending it everywhere.
So,
and then we'll talk about the folks we're buying stuff from, and it don't have to be that way.
Man,
we
I'm
can have
you,
our own, but
and we could have it in such abundancy. I mean, we like I said, we could the money, the fourth richest nation in the world, is the type of spending.
Yes.
That goes to the African-American community, and we have nothing at all to show for it but brand new, fancy-looking cars, and, of course, a very beautiful home. But which is nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, in your communities, all you have in your communities is a fancy-looking car and a beautiful home, and there's no businesses. You live in a ghost town. Your community is a ghost community. It has no value. That's why it's a ghost community. And it ain't going to have any values until there's commerce. So, any comments you got, Brother Aziz? I'm not going to, because right now it's almost like you and I. And, and if it comes to holding the conversation with each other, hopefully somebody on our internet, because like I said, our black dollar is too powerful to keep on, like I said, giving the privileges to and that's who is going to Caucasians, because Caucasians ain't sharing the monies with nobody else. No, they ain't sharing it with nobody else.
We got money, brother. We can go on and buy land and create our own malls. And do like they do. Here it is. People want to buy them all. That's why I say that thing that happened out there in Crenshaw, California, really was disturbing. People going to pay you what you want for it, $100-something million, $120 million, and then you're going to turn it around and sell it to somebody for $10 or $15 million less just because they're white. That's who you wanted to have it. You know, that's some nasty, evil stuff, brother.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that's America.
That's
America. We got nations like, just like they buying, like brother Tariq Abdul-Mumin, and over there in China where they're getting goods and things. It's the same place where these other big stores are getting their stuff, China. And, you know, with our money put together, we can get all those same items, except you say the electronics and tires, rubber tires. So those are things to work on. But again, you got to organize the leaders. We got to get the leaders to want to take those shackles off themselves, those psychological shackles, you know, that make them think that they can't do without. They can do.
Yeah, I don't, Brother Aziz, I don't think it's so much psychological as it was just darn right greed. Ain't nothing psychological.
Well, we see a lot of that.
Ain't nothing psychological about it. Anytime you have
a
great big financial institutions, like I said, the church is our biggest, and we're taking and making $1 trillion deposits into the Caucasian banks, and the ones who are in control of these deposits is the black ministers and their churches, and they take what they want for themselves, but they do nothing for the growth of their communities. That ain't nothing. That's nothing psychological about that. It is called greed. Just darn right grief.
Yes.
And,
right. Yes.
But, and I suppose that this conversation is hopefully that they will start reflecting and thinking about economical growth and stop wasting our monies in their great big mansions and their $40 Leo jets. And I don't know how many different $200,000 cars they may have. Stop that kind of waste, because this kind of stuff has no value whatsoever. But if you want to invest a 10,000 acre of land, man, you got serious values, because you can build your
community. You got some serious value there.
Serious value.
That's right.
And that value is going to go on for a long, long time.
I was just reading today about
that's going to be, we're going to hang on in there. That's our dilemma, is that we're going to continue. But like I said, we'll make that continuation next week. We're not going to go into the 8 o'clock show, because I don't see the participation. And I'm certainly not going to invest too much of my time until others are ready to invest their time. So you have any closing comments, I welcome your comments. Other than that, brother, we're going to close this thing out. Thank you.